Welcome to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple Podcast. My name is Elton Perdomo, and I am the assistant pastor at Greater Rhode Island. Our goal is to magnify our God through His Word. We pray that as you listen to this podcast, you will be drawn closer to Jesus through these biblical teachings from Pastor Carlos Navarrete.
Promises. If you take God's Word this morning and go to, with me to the book of Psalms one more time, and today we're going to go to Psalm chapter number 40, and we'll start there, though we're going to jump around a little bit in the Psalms this morning, but I wonder if you have a song in your heart. That's what we're talking about today, how to have a song in your heart. We're talking about the theme of praise. I'm very excited about this message, and I'm very certain that some of you are going to get nervous throughout this message, and I like that too. I'm kind of excited about that too, if I can be honest with you. But I want you to read it starting in verse 1, 2, and then verse 3. And I know that praise is something we are uncomfortable doing sometimes. And frankly, we're uncomfortable even talking about. And I pray that today it's something that you understand a little better, because it's the topic of our message this morning. Now, I know that sometimes I may say, you know, hi, how's the song in your heart? How's the praise to the Lord? And do you have a song in your heart today? And I think sometimes it probably is easier to think back to the last few days and think, well, not really. You know, you may say, Pastor, I haven't really had a great week. You know, maybe you've had some burdens. Maybe you're sick today. Maybe you're just, tired. Perhaps people have mistreated you. Maybe you're broke. I'm not really sure, but there could be a lot of reasons. But the Bible says that there should be a song in your heart. You know, we can always rejoice in the Lord. We may not be able to rejoice in our circumstances, but you can rejoice in the Lord. So today I want you to talk about this thing of praise. Now, I'm not talking about singing. And some of you right now, you're thinking, this is good. I don't sing good, so I don't have to worry about this. And I'm telling you, I know this. I know how you feel. And I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to be the best singer there, because the Bible says the last shall be first, right? So you're going to hear, I'm going to sing good there. But so you may be thinking, I don't have a very good song in my mouth. And that's true. But I'm telling you, the Bible says we all need to have a song in our hearts. Read with me and starting in Psalm chapter number 40. Let's read verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Do you see that? Notice that there's a song in the mouth. That's, the Bible says, one we can sing. But then there's a song you can see in verse 3. In other words, there's a song that goes deeper than just the mouth. It's a praise, the Bible says, that goes into the heart. Now you say, where does that come from? Well, look at it with me in verse 1. The Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Here's David writing, we're not sure when, but he's saying, listen, this is amazing. God brought me out of a horrible pit. Now, that may not mean much to you, but you know, in ancient days, they didn't have jails like we have today, you know, state penitentiary, there wasn't Rikers or something like that. There was pits, and they would put people in those pits lined with tar or clay, unable to get out. Some of you may remember when Joseph was sold by his brothers, they put him in a pit, the Bible says. That was the idea, unable to get out. Sometimes they would throw a lion in there or a serpent. The idea was they would devour and destroy the person, kind of like Daniel in the lion's den. How many of y'all remember that story, all right? So the Bible says that's the idea here. Here's David in a situation he couldn't get out of, and all of a sudden he says, Lord, I waited, I inclined my, you heard my cry and you inclined your ear, and I thank God that you brought me out of this situation where it was just seemingly impossible to get out of. David knew it was God that had saved him out of that situation. How many of you understand what I'm saying? If you're here and you're saved, you know this is true. It's God that saved you. You know, you try to claw your way out with religion, and people try to scratch their way out with education, and others try to, you know, do it another different way. But the Bible says that we're unable to do it, and all of a sudden, this is what we know. We were down in that situation when Jesus stepped in, and He jumped in, and He took our place. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. And suddenly, you can stand here, and you can say, I can have a song because you're saved. How many of you are glad you're saved this morning, right? So you're saved. You've got a song because you've been rescued. Now, not only because we're saved, but because we've been established. Notice in verse 2, it says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Notice he says also, this is a second thing, a second benefit of knowing the Lord is that not only does he save you, but watch this, he steadies you. He sets you on solid ground where all of a sudden you know, the Bible says, what you're standing on. And yet, here's what we know. We know that when we're on solid ground, many times we fall. Do you know that saved people fall? The Bible tells us that Peter denied and cursed the Lord. We know that the Bible says Jonah ran from God when he was given instructions. We know that John Mark, the Bible says, forsook Paul in the middle of a missionary journey and he fell. We know that Jacob cheated and connived. And we know that Abraham lied. The father of faith failed and had unbelieving moments. And we know that Abraham had a lapse of faith and lied. And David committed adultery. But how many of you know what I'm saying? All of them were lifted up, the Bible says. And they were set on a rock. How many of you understand? If you're saved here, you may fall, but the good news is this. The Lord can lift you up. And he doesn't just save us, but he steadies us. And I'm so thankful that he establishes our steps. And so we want to sing. We can praise him because we're saved. We can praise him because we're established. And we can praise him because we have a song. Notice that's why verse 3 says very simply, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. No wonder he had a song. He was saved. He was established. He had steps. The steps of a good man had been ordered by the Lord. And so he said, I've got a new song in my mouth. He said, I've got the ability to praise God because he has saved me. Now, the question today then is, what is praise? What does it mean to praise? Well, listen to me. Praise is all of me responding to all of him. Praise is when all my being, my body, soul, and spirit are engaged in praising and responding to all I know of my God. You can't respond to all of him because we don't know him that well, but the Bible says we can respond to all we know of him. You know, John 4:24 says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Spirit, that means that worship should come as something that's welled up, generated by the Holy Spirit of God in your life. But truth, that speaks of the fact that, yes, we need to sing truthfully. We need to praise that which is true about God according to his word. But you know what else it means? It means that it ought to be sincere. It ought to be real. Truth means that when somebody sees you, they can easily identify by watching you praise God, by watching your life, they can see what you feel and believe about your God. I wonder if that's true about you. I wonder if people can watch you in church and go, man, he just loves his Lord. I'm telling you right now, sometimes I look out and I see people who, instead of being inhabited by the Spirit, they're inhibited. You know what I mean? I mean, they are so used to suppressing their emotions. They come to church and it's like, oh, I love the Lord. He's number one in my life. And it's time to praise. And it's like, oh, I got to endure this. Folks, listen, the Bible says we need to understand. We're not here to maintain dignity or save face. We are to worship him in spirit. That's something the Spirit produces, not the flesh, the Spirit. And the Bible says in truth. So, you know, sometimes I wonder if you would behave the way you behave in church when it's time to praise God, if your team was winning the championship game and it was the last inning or the last few seconds. You know, I think we would conjure up some passion and a joy and a praise, if you will, and an energy. See, the Bible says more than any other commandment that we ought to praise the Lord. Did you know that? More than pray. Now, I'm not de-emphasizing the power of prayer. We need that. But the Bible says more than pray, the Bible tells us to praise. More than any other commandment in the Bible, we are told to praise our God. And prayer is powerful, but prayer is when you ask and you receive and it goes up to the throne of heaven, but it stays, the Bible says, and all of a sudden that comes back. It comes back right down to us and we receive that. We ask and receive. But watch this. Praise, it doesn't do that. Praise just goes up and it stays. The Bible says it's like an incense. It stays up there in the presence of God forever. And so here we are, we're told to praise the Lord all the time. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what David said. Notice what he said in Psalm 57. My heart is fixed. Now, that didn't mean his heart was messed up and then they went in there and fixed it all up, okay? The word fixed in the King James means set, determined, unmovable. He had a determination, if you will. There was a resolve in his heart. I'm going to praise the Lord. No matter what happens, I'm going to praise the Lord. No matter what comes, I'm going to praise the Lord. So here's the question. What does praise do? Why does God want us to praise him? Well, have you ever thought about that? Why are we supposed to praise him? Well, I want to talk to you about praise this morning. First of all, notice with me, I want us to see in the scripture this morning that praise, first of all, is to be reverence to our Savior. We're supposed to, first of all, exalt, reverence, worship, adore our Savior. That's what praise is all about. When you come to church, listen, that choir is not singing for you, and you're not singing for them. How many of you understand? We're all singing for him. When we praise God, we're not doing that so others can hear. We don't say, I praise the Lord that I'm great. No. You know, we praise the Lord that he's great. It's all about the Savior. Psalm 145, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. All your works. God said, I want all creation, the wind, the tornadoes. Can I get a witness? The rain, the sea, the ocean, the sky, the creatures, the animals, the fowls of the air, birds of the field, to create a symphony of praise together, praising the Lord. That's what he wants. He wants to be praised. We have to praise our Savior. The occupation of the angels in heaven is to praise our God. Listen to what John said in Revelation chapter 4. Here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, here's God, gave him a revelation of end times, and he said, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. Now, these beasts, maybe the word is creatures or angelic. These are angels. These are, the Bible says, angels before the throne, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, what do they say? Holy, holy, holy. You ever think about that? Why is it that they sing holy, holy, holy? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we have a God that's three in one. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy Spirit. The Bible says they sing holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So here's the Bible says the number one job of the angel is to praise the Lord in heaven. And Revelation 5:11 goes on to say, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. Now, this is symbolic of everyone in heaven. Here's a huge choir. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, I know there's some people that act like, I don't like big churches, you know what I mean? But I'm telling you, I like big churches. I like big crowds. You know what? I don't like small crowds. You know why? As long as there's millions of people around, we ought to have a big crowd praising our God. And the Bible says one day you're going to be part of a crowd of about 100 million. How's that for a big crowd? Praising God. Saying, the Bible says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now imagine that. Millions of people, the Bible says here, praising the Lord, the entire world, praising God. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I tell you, the desire of your heart ought to be to praise God. I can't wait to praise God. I can't wait to tell it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, listen, lift up your voice. It's such a better be something. I can't wait to praise the Lord. I love praising the Lord. God knows my heart. I'd rather praise God than know the Bible. I'd rather praise God than win a soul to Christ. I'd rather praise God than pastor this church. You say, well, why would you say that? Listen, think about it. We understand the Bible so that we can know how to praise him better. We win souls to Jesus so that they can come and praise him with us. We gather as a church family so that we can praise the Lord as his body. We're saved to praise him. The number one phrase in our mission statement as a church is that we exist to glorify God through worship and the word. You know what that simply means? We exist, the Bible says, to worship him in spirit and in truth. So praise reverences our Savior. How many of you would agree with me? He is worthy of all praise and honor and glory this morning. So now notice number two, praise also exists to resist Satan. Now you may think, well, what is that all about? Some of you may be visiting, you're thinking, what is all that? I'm telling you, we have a real enemy. His name is the devil. He is real. And he is a demonic being. He fell from heaven. And he is, the Bible says, here on earth, wreaking havoc. Now, one day we know, Jesus, the Bible says, will be victor. And the devil will be thrown into the lake of fire. But in the meantime, he is walking about and he's got a plan, a method to destroy your family this week. He's got a plan this week to destroy you. He's coming after you. Many Christians walk about very loosely, very, the Bible says, ignorant of the fact that there's an enemy. But you shouldn't. You ought to be like somebody, the Bible says, who knows that there's a lion on the prowl in the neighborhood. You ought to be on the watch, on the lookout every single day of your life. Can I get a witness, right? If you don't do that, you'll be vulnerable. You'll be attacked. And you won't even know it's coming. The Bible says this, that praise has power over the devil, even in ways that prayer does not. Now you say, why? Why is that? Well, something very important that you need to know about praise. When God's people praise the Lord, God himself shows up. Amen. Isn't that amazing? When God's people begin to praise the Lord, that invites the very presence of God into our midst. Psalm 22 says, but thou art holy. And it says, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Where is God? He's in the praises of his people. Where does he live? You know, you go, oh, I live in Pawtucket. I live down there in, you know, Scituate. I live over here in Providence. No, no, no. Watch this. God's address is this: wherever my people are praising me. That's where God shows up. All of a sudden, he gets into there and he gets into the midst of it. This is why we invite the Lord by praising him in song. This is why Wednesday nights we get together and before we pray, we praise. We say, Lord, thank you for what you've already done. How many of you think it's just, listen, it's reasonable that before we pray, we praise. And the Bible says the reason is that he inhabits, he lives. His address is wherever my people are praising me. So when there is the presence of God, you know what happens? There is the absence of the devil. See, the devil is allergic to the presence of God. You ever think about that? Any of you allergic to something? You know what I'm talking about, right? You walk into a room and somebody's got a cat. And you just know, there's a cat. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you're allergic to dogs. I was with a friend one time, and he was allergic to eucalyptus. And we walked into a conference room, and he said, he said, there's eucalyptus somewhere in the room. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Sure enough, on the other side of the ballroom, there was, you know, a vase, and it had like three eucalyptus leaves just sticking out of it. And he just, man, he was going. He's like, I got to get out of here. I'm gone. That's what happens when God's people begin to praise the Lord. No matter where you are, the presence of God, the Bible says, shows up, and all of a sudden, the devil's gone. I mean, he runs from there. Now, listen, this is important. It's an amazing truth. The Bible says many of times, you know, we'll say, oh man, I was fighting them in a spiritual battle. What do I do? Let me tell you what you do. You start to praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel, there's this Old Testament story, the first king of Israel, Saul, was chosen by God. He was humble for a time, and yet when he got, the Bible says, carried up and he became arrogant, God's hand came off of him, and all of a sudden, the Bible says he was absent from the Lord, and the Lord allowed an evil spirit to come upon Saul, and yet David would show up. You know, David, he was a man after God's own heart, and he would show up with his harp, and he'd begin to play. And he began to sing praises. And when he did that, it's an amazing thing what happened. Notice 1 Samuel 16:23 says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and he played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Isn't that amazing? That's powerful. When you begin to praise, the devil's gone. When you begin to praise the Lord, he is out of there. Now, folks, listen to me. We need to learn the power of praise. How many of you are thankful for the power of praise this morning, right? I want you to see a quick story with me. Would you go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20? Mark your spot there, and we'll be back to Psalms. But 2 Chronicles 20 is a wonderful story. In chapter 1, you see, in verse 1, excuse me, you see the people of God. This is the children of Israel. And here they are. And the Bible says that they are being attacked by the Moabites. You remember them from the book of Ruth. And the Ammonites. And these are the enemies of God's people. These are demonic people. And the Bible says, and there happened to be there a man. That's 2 Samuel. I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles. How many of you found it? All right, good. I haven't. So give me a minute. Okay. 2 Chronicles 20. I saw this morning. I thought this is a great story. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside, the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, Jehoshaphat is the leader of Judah, of the tribe of Judah. Now, who's the tribe of Judah? Remember, the tribe of Judah is the tribe where most of the kings come from. Specifically, who was born from the tribe of Judah? Help me. Jesus, right? The Savior. The Lord came from the tribe of Judah. So here is the Lord's people. Watch this. And here is the enemy of God's people. That's symbolic of the devil. Now notice in this story, let's read down to verse 5. Let's jump to verse 5. And he said, judges in the land, excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou now God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? He stands there and he says, God, aren't you able? Aren't you able to take care of anything? Aren't you more powerful than anyone? How many of you know? How many of you agree? Yes, he is. Now notice what he says in verse number 12. Skip down there. O our God, wilt thou now judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. What a great phrase. Lord, we have no idea what to do, but our eyes are on you. How many of you think that's the way a God's people ought to be? Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Lord, whatever you see fit to give us. We have no might against this great company, they said. Now notice in verse number 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now, you may think, well, who is that? Well, here's this man. His name is Jahaziel, and God rose up. The Spirit of God rises up in him, and he's one of the sons of Asaph. Now, that doesn't mean much to us, but the sons of Asaph, that phrase doesn't literally mean he was the son of Asaph. He just tells us who he's the son of. The phrase, the son of Asaph, kind of like when the Bible says the sons of the prophets, means he was a student of Asaph. Asaph was the musician, and here is a musician who finally has a good idea. I'm just kidding, if you're a musician, just kidding. Notice in verse number 15, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And here's a great phrase again. For the battle is not yours, but God's. How many of you are thankful for that? He says, listen, you got to understand something. And Christians, you got to get this down. The battle's not you. You're just a pawn in the game. It's the Lord's battle. The devil's got it out for God, and he wants to hurt you, because if he hurts you, he hurts God. The battle's not yours, he says, but God's. And he says, notice he keeps telling them, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. He says, listen, all you got to do is show up. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What a great phrase. Again, the Lord will be with you. You know, we say things like, don't just stand there, do something, right? God says, don't do something, just stand there. You're going to show up. That's all you've got to do. How many of you understand? If you show up with the Lord, you're on the winning side. That's it. Now notice, jump down to verse number 20. The Bible says, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Isn't that great? First believe, then established. It doesn't say try hard. It just says you just believe God and you'll be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. Another awesome phrase. Underline that one too. They should praise the beauty of holiness. Who were they praising? They didn't say, you know, Jehoshaphat, he's our man. No, that's not what they said, right? They weren't like, we're here, we're bad, that's all that needs to be said. No. They weren't praising themselves. They weren't praising their church. They weren't like, oh, no, we're awesome. You know, you're about to see. No. They were praising the beauty of holiness. They were praising how good their God was. So here's this man, and he's given him the chords, and he's given him the notes, and they're prepared. They've had a choir practice, and they show up, and all of a sudden they're going to do something weird. Here's the enemy, and they've got chain swords, M16s, you know what I mean, MIGs, whatever, and they've got cannons, and they're ready to rock and unload. And all of a sudden, the Bible says God's people show up, and here they've got a conductor, and here's the son of Asaph, and he's got his little baton, and the enemies are going, what? And he goes, on three, everybody, let him have it. Let's sing praises to our God. Read verse 22 with me, and here's the key. And when they began to sing and to praise, what happened? The Lord set an ambush, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now, watch this. Here's how we work. Here's how we think. Pastor, I'll praise God when he does, and he gives me victory over what I want. When did they get the victory, church? When they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord began to do battle for them. Watch this. It wasn't when they got victory that they praised. They praised and the Lord gave the victory. Why? Because when we praise the Lord, all of a sudden, watch this, it gets rid of the enemy. Victory comes. Now, I don't know about you. I've got some spiritual battles going on in my life. Anybody here in my boat? Listen to me. My wife and I, you know, we've got as much right now that we're trusting God for as we ever have in our lives. I'm not really sure that we've ever lived by faith quite like we are right at this moment. And I'm here to tell you, there's many, many things in my life that I'm going, Lord, how is this all going to turn out? And I can say to you, this is very safely and very, very honestly, living by faith, listen, is a wonderful thing. But you may be here and you go, yes, Pastor, but how do I know how it's going to turn out? Friend, you don't, but here's what you do know. When you begin to praise, God begins to work. And the devil scurries out. And if you've got spiritual battles, you know what the best thing you can do is? Just start to praise God. Lord, thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, I praise you for what you're about to send down my way. Thank you for the victory that's coming my way. How many of you are glad that when you praise, the devil's gone? Amen. The enemy's destroyed. And some of you, you're here, and I'm telling you, you need to start praising. So you start seeing victory. You're going, I've got depression, and I've got cynicism, and I've got some discouragement. Pastor, I've just got some bitterness. I've got some anger. I've got some lust. I've got some things. Listen, you start to praise God, he'll show up, the Bible says, and you'll begin to see the devil run because he's allergic to him. When the presence of God comes, you know what you have? You have the absence of Satan. Praise the Lord to resist Satan. Notice number three, we need to praise the Lord to release the Spirit. Now go back to Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 61 now in verse 8. I love the Psalms. One thing that the Psalms will do is they'll teach you how to praise. If you're here and you're like, Pastor, you know, I'm not very good at that. I'm not one of those people that's good with words. How do I start? Well, go to the Psalms and pick one and just start reading that and rejoice in what God has done. And then repeat it back to him. I love that Psalms. Every day of my life, I read a proverb and a psalm. It's a wonderful way to get wisdom and get blessing. Now here's a blessing, Psalm 61 and verse 8. He says, so will I praise unto thy name forever that I may daily perform my vows. He says, I'll praise you so that I can perform my vows. Now what are those vows? Are you talking about, you saying, Pastor, what vows is he talking about? Well, the Bible says here, if you're here and you're one of these people, you're going, I'm not really sure how I'm going to live the Christian life this week. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. I don't know how I can live this life. I don't know how I can do right. I don't know how I can, you know, do everything I need to do. How do I have the power of God upon my life? How do I perform my vows? How do I read my Bible? How do I pray? Pastor, how do I live righteously? How do I stay clean and pure in my mind? How do I do this? Do you know how? This is very simple. Watch this. The Bible says, praise your way there. I'll praise, and then I will perform my vows. Why? Because when you begin to praise, God shows up, the presence of God comes in you, and guess what happens? The Bible says, the Spirit of God begins to work. See, this is why praise and obedience are inseparable. You can't just try to obey on your own, and then when you got it all right, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm just not one of those people, Pastor, I just have some, you know, I've got some struggles, and I've got some, folks, listen to me, everyone's got struggles, but those that praise the Lord, they perform their vows. The Bible says it releases the power of the Spirit. Sometimes I find myself worn out, you know, in the work of God. I'm not weary of the work, but I get weary in the work. And do you know what the Bible says? When you do that, begin to praise the Lord. Just praise God. I normally do this. For example, a Sunday, you know, after I've preached a few times and counseled a bunch of people and try to just love as much as I can on Sundays, I'm telling you, Monday morning's a downer time for me. If you ever go find me on Monday morning, you know, about 6:30 in the morning, you know where you'll find me? Normally you'll find me, and I'm having a praise fest down in the basement. I'm telling you, I'm having service, and I put some preaching on, and I just praise the Lord. I try to get my spirit up. everything except take an offering. I don't do that. But the Bible says when we believe God and we praise Him, you know what happens? That's when the Spirit takes over and you're able to perform your vows. Praise is the outward expression of an inward faith that says, I believe God is able. I believe God can do it. I'm not saying I can. I'm saying He can. I'm not trusting in me. I'm trusting in you. So Lord, I praise you for being powerful, being good. And all of a sudden the Bible says that releases the Spirit of God to do it through you. Praise the Lord. Believe the Lord. Notice number four. Don't just praise to release the Spirit. Praise to refresh the saints. Now, we said praise is the highest, holiest function of the human spirit. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 1:17. The Bible says, and He is before all things. Now that He is Jesus. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. Do you know what the Bible says? That all things work through Jesus. Not just physical things, by the way. The universe, the stars, the sun, the seasons. But you know what else? Emotional things. Your spirit. The Bible says spiritual things. Organization, institutional things. The Bible works, the church even works by Him. It's Him that keeps it together. Now, if you take Jesus out of the center of anything, do you know what happens? It falls apart. Now listen to me very carefully. We have some very real challenges right now in our culture. We've got some very real challenges right now in our state. I read an article just this morning how that the ERs are overwhelmed by the amount of psychiatric cases. And do you know what the biggest number of the age group that's struggling the most is? Kids under 12. They say in 45% of the counties in America, they're overwhelmed because they have more psychiatric situations than they do physical situations coming into the ERs. And nurses and doctors aren't necessarily always trained to help these kids. Suicidal, nervous, overwhelmed, anxious. And I'm telling you, we have a culture right now that we are so easily overwhelmed. And there's a lot of factors, by the way. We could talk about those. I mean, there's the overwhelming amount of information, just the information overload. I find that to be such an amazing thing. We have people that they're just on their phone all the time. And that amount of information, do you know what it does? It just overwhelms the spirit. The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. In other words, we got a lot of know-it-all, do-nothings in our culture today. They know everything, but they can't even get their shoes tied and get out of their mama's basement, and put away their Fruit Loops after they eat them. But man, do they know how everybody else ought to do everything. Can I get a witness? We've got these arrogant people who don't know how to do anything. And the Bible says that leads to some things. This self-centered, by the way, we could say other reasons. Social media is another big reason. Sin, the pressures in our world right now, just the negativity in the culture. These are all these factors lead to all these mental health issues in our nation right now. Depression, nervousness, anxiety attacks. Can I be honest with you? And it's no different amongst Christians. It's the same. Christians are just as overwhelmed, just as anxious, just as depressed, just as, if you will, nervous in all of these things. Now I have a conviction in my heart. Can I tell you what it is? I believe that if we had more praise and a song in our heart, we would have less problems, less need for therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, counseling. Can I get a witness this morning? If we had more praise, listen, all of a sudden, you know what happens? When all of a sudden I am convinced that most of our mental health issues are a result of over preoccupation with self. Watch this. When you are self-centered and self-focused and self-concerned, the Bible says anything that is, watch this, self-centered will deteriorate. Why are people falling apart so easily? I mean, don't you look at some people today and they just go, I just need a personal day. And you're like, a personal day? You're 12. Are you kidding me? I mean, you see young people today. I mean, they're 38 and they act like, I can't do this. This is too many hours. You're like, you're working 12 hours a week, buddy. Oh, I can't do it. And some of you of the older generation, you're frustrated with them. Can I be honest with you? Don't be frustrated. Listen, understand something. Anything self-centered, it falls apart. And the real issue today is the self-centeredness in our culture, the arrogance. Jesus, this isn't pipe psychology, folks. Jesus said it very carefully. Whosoever shall save his life shall what? Loses it. In other words, you become focused on you, you fall apart. You know. But whoever loses his life shall what? Find it. Loses it for my sake and the gospel's. In other words, this is an amazing thing. If all of a sudden you seek first the Lord and his kingdom, do you know what's going to happen? He's going to make everything in your life all of a sudden fall together. It's an amazing thing. So you can't this morning all of a sudden go, what are you talking about, praise? Listen to me. When we begin to praise, here's my conviction with all of my heart. When you start to praise the Lord, and when you begin, the Bible says, to do that, all of a sudden that you will experience continuously, the Bible says, the joy of a life. It's hard for a self-centered Christian to praise, and it's hard for a praise-filled Christian to be self-centered. It's one of the two. When you worship the King in the beauty of holiness, do you know what happens? Something gets refreshed. You. All of a sudden, your life just makes sense because you were created to praise the Lord. That's why you're here on this planet. And until you learn to do that continuously and you have a song in your heart, it's just not going to make sense. Now, some of you are sitting here and you're like, what? Why would it be that God wants us to praise Him? Is he really that self-centered where you know, he's got to have a pat in the back like every 7 days and go, hey, God, you're awesome, man. You're good. You're doing good up there. Appreciate it. Is that what you're trying to say? Listen to me. It's not God that needs the praise. It's us that needs to praise him. You ever think about that? God doesn't need our praise. He doesn't have insecurity issues when he doesn't get patted on the back. When you don't show up to church, God doesn't go into depressive mode. Oh, they haven't encouraged me. Folks, listen, we don't do this because he needs it. We do it because you need it. Amen. We say, well, why do you say, I need this? Let me tell you why. Do you know something that is very true about the human spirit? We become like whatever we worship. It's an amazing truth. Whatever you worship, you become like. Amen. You know, greedy people, they become very cold, very stingy, very lifeless, like money. Because that's what they love. On the other hand, you know, by the way, people who love sports, you know what I mean? You know what they do? They buy the shoes that their favorite sports team wears and their favorite athlete wears. You know what I'm saying? They get the same tattoo that he gets. I mean, they wear the same bracelet. You know what I mean? They kind of strut like he struts. You know what I mean? They talk like he talks. They wear the hat like he. It's just an amazing thing. You worship something. You want to become like it. Watch this. What happens to a Christ worshiper? He becomes like Christ. See, that's what the Bible says. Over there in 1 Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, we come to worship because we need it so that we can become Christ-like. Whatever you worship, whatever you adore, whatever you love in your life, whatever song is in your heart, that's what you become like. And I'm just here to tell you, listen, there's so many Christians that show up to church and it's just an experience. It's like they're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Has that ever happened to you? You ever step in an elevator and forget to push the button and you're standing there and then the door opens and you step out and you go, oh, I'm still on the same floor. You ever done that? I've done that. You know, you go back in and you go, I hope nobody saw that. You know, it's embarrassing when somebody's in there and you go, and the guy looks at you like, you know what I mean? And it's a thing. The Bible says this. So many of us, we come to church and we walk out the same way we walked in because we never praised. We're trying to save face, save dignity. We don't want anybody to know. Listen to me. When you begin to praise the Lord, something happens. It refreshes you. It's not a religious experience we're after. It's being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It refreshes your spirit. You become like what you worship. So praise, the Bible says, refreshes the saints. Now here's the last one. Ready? Praise reaches the sinners. I want you to go back to Psalm 40 where we started, and I want you to watch this with me. Psalm 40, and look at verse number 3. Here's David, he's praising. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Verse 3, watch this. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. What's the result? many shall see it, not hear it. They shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. We as a church, we are to be two-legged, the Bible says, songs unto the Lord. Amen. Where people look and go, what makes him tick? What's got him up, even though I know what's going on? What's given him that strength? What makes him go on like that? What refreshes him? You see, there's no greater testimony to people who are unsaved than a Christian whose life is joyful, whose heart is praising the Lord. See, our goal is to magnify the Lord through worship in the Word, in spirit, and in truth. And so that people see it, the Bible says, and they're going to say, man, they really believe. They really love their God. Listen, people aren't, they're not impressed by inconsistent, you know what I mean, Christians who just come because, you know, they have to, or you know, when it's time to praise, it's just kind of not a thing, or when it's time to, you know, at Thanksgiving, they kind of go, well, I thank God, you know, because I did this and I did this. I mean, there's just no praise really to the Lord in their life. But when you're all about the Lord, man, I can't believe how good he is to me. Listen to me, it changes you. Church, I'm telling you, soul winning is something that people catch as much as they hear and listen. The evangelism happens in our church from the time somebody leaves the parking lot. Listen, we praise God by the way we shake hands with people. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Man, you're going to be blessed today. And by the way, you know, the welcome team seats them. And by the way, the choir sings to the Lord. And by the way, you congregation, listen, lift up your voice and praise God and shout his name. And listen to me, when I stand up here to preach, it just underlines all that's already been done to praise the Lord in this place. Amen. It doesn't say the heathen shall hear it. It says they'll see it. They'll see it. And they'll trust in the Lord. Listen, it's amazing what happens in a praising, in a joyful, Christ-centered church. People come in and they go, I want a part of this. Jesus said, when I be lifted up, watch this, I will draw men unto myself. I love that. And I'm not diminishing soul winning. And I'm not diminishing preaching or giving people the gospel. I'm just saying people need to see victory in our lives. A song of praise unto our God. See, we have a choice to make. Eternity will either be spent in heaven, praising the Lord forever and ever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. That's it. That's the one. It's either that, or it'll be, the Bible says, in hell, where there's weeping, complaining, cursing, gnashing of teeth, darkness, the exact opposite. I wonder today, do you know if you're going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell? The Bible says very clearly that that depends on what you do with Jesus. And you may be here today and you may say, you know, Pastor, I'm just not that bad a guy, so don't condemn me, okay? I'm not that bad, so, you know, you preachers always condemn. Listen to me. It's not the amount of sin, it's the fact that we're sinners that's the problem. It's like if I were to ask you, you know, I was asking a chemist one time. I said, hey, what's the most deadly poison? And he said, potassium cyanide. And I said, really? I said, well, how deadly is it? And he looked at me, he goes, one drop under your tongue. He said, the minute it hit that artery, you're dead. Before you even put the cap on the bottle. I said, whoa. I said, what if I drink the whole bottle? And he looked at me and he said, can you be more dead than dead? Friend, listen to me. It's not the amount of sin, it's that we're sinners. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you and I, the Bible says very clearly, we need to know that the minute we come and we confess our sins, the Bible says, he is faithful. And the minute we say, Lord Jesus, I need you, and we ask him to save us, he will do it. The issue is not how much sin, it's that we're sinners and we need a Savior. The gospel is the good news that there is a God who sent his Son, who died on a cross for your sins. And whoever here, anybody, it says whosoever, aren't you glad it says whosoever will? Whosoever will simply believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a wonderful thing to know that you'll be in heaven and you'll be praising God forever. I wonder if you're here today and you're a Christian, you would just say, you know, Pastor, I'm just not good at this thing of praise. this thing of praise. I've been waiting for God to deliver before I praise him. I think I learned today, I got to get praising. I don't know if you're like me. I'm waiting on God for a lot of things. But I figured out right now, if I want him to show up, I need to learn to praise my God. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. Let's stand together. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and just have a moment of reflection. And we're going to sing in a minute. And before we do, I want you to consider your praise. The Bible says, let them that know not the Lord, let them be silent. But those of us who know God, let us, the Bible says, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them be quiet who don't know God. But those of us who know the Lord, let us get praising. Let's get serious about his presence. Let's get serious about thanking God so we can have victory, so we can perform our vows. So you're here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. I need to make a priority of this thing of praise. So would you today pray for me? I need to be a praise-filled believer. I need to get a song in my heart. Would you raise your hand today? God spoke to me. I need to get praising. Amen. That's a lot of hands. There's a lot of people. I want to ask you right now, friend, this is cheaper than the psychologist or a therapist, but you may want to try it this morning. See what God does. You've been battling the devil for this whole week. Why don't you just come to this altar today? Instead of asking, praise him. Lift your voice up. Tell God how good he's been, how good he is, how great he is. Why don't you do that? You just step right out. Just come this morning. Praise the Lord. Don't ask. Don't pray. Don't say, Lord, give me more. Praise God. Just come and praise him. You say, I've never done it. I know that. Listen, friends, it's uncomfortable. But maybe today would be a day to praise. A day to praise. Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? Are you 100% sure if you were to die today that you spend eternity in heaven with the Lord? How many of you would say this morning, Pastor, I know it. I know it. He's my Savior. He saved my soul. Would you raise your hand today if you'd say, that's me. I know I'm saved. Raise your hand as a testimony. God bless you. How many of you would here would say, Pastor, I don't know that eternity's my home. I've never put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not 100% sure, but I would like to know. I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to put my faith in Jesus. Friend, it's a simple call. Would you just pray this prayer right now? Jesus, thank you for saving me. I praise you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Savior. Lord, I receive your salvation. Tell him, save me, Jesus. Would you say that? Save me, Jesus. Help me to live the Christian life. Help me not be ashamed of you. Just tell him right where you are. And you can have that assurance today according to God's word. Who's here and you'd say, Pastor Carlos, I just prayed that prayer. I want to pray and rejoice with you. You'd say, I just prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart. Would you raise your hand right where you are? I'm not going to embarrass you, but we want to praise God for it. Would you raise your hand? I just prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. Save my soul. Anybody here? That's me. Anybody here? I just prayed that prayer. Father, we want to praise your name today. Thank you, O Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you for establishing our steps. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, this morning I want to ask, help us, Lord, to praise. We want to praise your holy, wonderful, precious name. Praise you, Lord, for what you've done in this place. We praise you, Lord, for giving us life. We praise you, Lord, for being consistent, faithful. Thank you for giving us access to Jesus, to the throne of God above. Thank you, Lord, because you stand for us today and you plead on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, because you love us so much. Thank you, Father, for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the local church. We praise you, God, for strength today. Lord, we praise you this morning.
Well, we pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to these truths today. I pray that you will call us or visit us at gribt.com here at the church Monday through Friday. We would love to hear how we can pray for you. And if you made a decision today to trust Christ, please let us know. We would love to get you some resources and help encourage you in your new walk with Christ. As always, you can visit us here in Johnston, Rhode Island, right off of Highway 295 and Exit 10, next to the Citizens Bank Complex. I pray that you've had a wonderful day. May God richly bless you.